What's up, Brian? Instagram Live still pop up on this fucking program, so I have to pop that. All right.
You're fine.
What the fuck?
You good?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Because people don't know how to turn caps lock off.
I love caps lock.
Yes, don't shit on his caps lock.
I like to shout at everything.
But it doesn't show you on. It didn't show me on here. Usually, when you try and put in your password, it's like caps lock's on. Nope.
Like, yo, yo, what's going on? We got Give Me Back My Action Movies over on Instagram for our first Instagram Live. Hey, everybody. Wait, we got to do our proper intro. Here we go. Ready, guys? We got to do it for the lives, too.
Oh. Okay,
if I can remember how to use this stupid-ass program. All right, here we go.
Your host, Parker, Dan, and Angela, slice and dice their way through the good.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
The bad.
You brought the devil.
There's a devil inside everyone.
And the ugly movies you love.
And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
Hold your favorite films and franchises tight, because they aren't safe. In fact, it's already too late. It's time to dissect that film.
God, that intro is so goddamn good.
Yes.
It's way better than the show that follows it. Wait a minute.
I know, but I'm looking at the intro and I'm like, we've covered two out of the three movies that are in that intro, so we definitely have to do Troll 2 at some point.
I just need to do somebody's hospitality first, then it'll be fine.
Yes, yes. Welcome everybody to Dissect That Film Live for March 2024. I know we're in April, but due to work schedules and a lot of other things we've been working on with the show, we had to do it 5 days into April. So here we are. But we're going to be talking about March and all the wonderful things that happened in March. Welcome everybody who is watching us from either YouTube, Twitch, and now Instagram. Oh, shit. I forgot to pop up my my comments.
Yeah, Bob is.
Yo, Bob's going burgers. What's going muted. On? I'm muted. What?
So you're fine on our end, but Bob says you are on
Twitch.
On Twitch, allegedly. Huh. I don't know.
That sounds unfortunate. You know what I'm about to say? Despite everything that this year, movies that given us either a laugh or given us shit, Godzilla's Kong has exceeded my expectations. It's fantastic. Yes, we're going to be talking about that later. We're going to be doing our normal live stream stuff. We're going to be talking about all the episodes that we covered in March, all of our month of 1986 movies, plus our Leprechaun 2 episode we did with the official Joey C. And then we're going to be looking forward to our month of 1991, which started today with the release of our The Silence of the Lambs episode that we did with Allie from the Quad Pro Quo podcast. So a lot to talk about. And then we're going to be talking about Godzilla X Kong because, yeah. We're going to be doing that.
Yes.
It's finally time to talk about, to finally do a fresh cut. Even though I did a fresh cut last week, but this will be the first one we do with Dan and Angel for 2024.
Yep. We're finally allowed, guys.
Yeah, you're finally allowed. I finally unlocked the dungeon to got you out of the well. You put the lotion in the basket, finally, after I yelled at you the whole, so many times.
After
finally listens, so many, thank you.
After you get the hose so many times, just can't deal with it no more.
So from what I've read, for anybody who's watching on Instagram, this stream will probably be longer than an hour because we are doing our normal live stream plus doing a fresh cuts. And from what I've read, you can only do Instagram lives for an hour. So if it just stops, I come over to our YouTube channel or go to our Twitch channel, both at Dissect That Film. And watch our fresh cuts over there. And the audio for the fresh cuts will be out next week at some point. But we got other stuff we got to post, so I got to separate everything. But yeah, lots to do, lots of stuff coming out for the show. But let's look back at what March gave us. As I log into our Podbean account.
Please.
You guys ready to build up? Yeah, exactly. You guys see Henry Cavill not be emo Superman anymore and instead killing Nazis in the... No. Oh, I mean, I that movie looks pretty fun, but to be honest, I don't know. I feel people are way too harsh on his Superman.
Yes.
I don't think he's emo Superman. I think he did exactly what he was supposed to do, and people just didn't like it. I don't see him being emo Superman. I thought he was fine Superman. To be honest.
Yeah, I liked him. I enjoyed his Superman portrayal.
Yeah, Superman is not a superhero that I like much of. Like, I enjoyed the first two original Christopher Reeve Superman movies. I thought they were really good because Christopher Reeve is great. You got Gene Hackman killing it as Lex Luthor. But, like, Superman has just never been a character I've been like, oh, my God, a new Superman? Oh, I gotta go see it. But I liked the interpretation that we got from Zack Snyder. It's one of those things I don't like to talk about Zack Snyder as much anymore because people have made everything around him so toxic. You can't talk about him without people just coming out of the woodworks and just either, you know, lambasting you for something or, you know, calling you things that you're not. So I will reserve my thoughts on Zack Snyder until we cover a Zack Snyder movie down the road, which probably will be this year at some point, because I know Watchmen is, it's got a, it's 15th anniversary is this year, and I really want to talk about that movie because that's my favorite Zack Snyder movie. So that's something I want to talk about, but that's enough Zack Snyder talk for today. What's going on, fuck. Thunder Ronan, welcome.
Hello. No, I just said fuck them, the people that around Zack Snyder. I don't really give two shits about the dude anyway, but, you know, fuck him.
The Zack Snyder stands out there are just like, they're awful. And it's a very toxic community of people who just like worship the guy for everything, but don't, and they don't accept criticism on anything.
No, or, of course not.
Yeah. So, yay! On to something else.
It's just a certain number of human beings in general, I feel, but fair point.
So, March. March was a fun month. It was our month of 1986. It was the month we celebrated Dan in his year of birth. Let me pull up our numbers for March and see who our winner was.
It wasn't my fault. It was 1986. It was my parents. And I blame them for birthing me because that makes so much sense. Anyhow, carry on.
So we started out the month with Little Shop of Horrors, which people not liking. We covered our first ever musical on the show and people weren't a fan of it. It was our lowest performing episode of the month.
It's okay to have a wrong opinion.
We tried.
Sorry, people took my side. It's fine.
Yeah, we tried. Hopefully down the road, it'll get some love. You know, I think that's the great thing about podcast episodes. It's like, you know, sometimes you get those great performances right in the beginning. And then sometimes they're just episodes that have a slow burn. They're always there. And it's always nice to see older episodes get downloads. So I hope that Little Shop of Horrors will get some love down the road. Too.
The other three or four fans will show up and they'll listen to it and we'll be set.
Stop being so toxic, Dan.
I love being toxic.
Hang out with the Zack Snyder stands, all right?
I can't help it. I could hang out with the Zack Snyder, but I probably wouldn't get along with those assholes either. Our assholeness would clash and you never go ass to ass. Ever. I've seen what's the movie? Not lost. Requiem for a Dream. There you go. That was the joke. I was trying
to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ass to ass. That was so bad.
Boy. Can I shout out real quick? He's not here, but I want to say it because he might listen to this. Shout outs for Paul for giving me the dick tuck thing. It's awesome.
You're going to say it, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's Paul from the Flicks and Friends podcast?
Yes. Fuck yes.
Wow.
He came in hard with the dick tuck. So when I do my dumb retweets of our stuff, and I try to think of something usually inappropriate, not funny, but Parker released Silence of the Clams, and
I sent you that.
She sent me that. And I said something about, hey, gentlemen, don't forget to tuck your dicks, you know. And it was the shot of Jason Mewes from Jane Silent Vlog. Clerks 2, where he actually does the dick tuck thing. That he was like, apparently Smith had been trying to get him to do that on film forever. And that was what he sent me a picture of. And I was like, got it.
Take a shot every time Dan says dick.
Yeah.
I can make this real interesting for a lot of people if that's the case.
Please don't, you'll die.
Fiore said people can say what they want about him, but Snyder to me is just a guy with such creativity that's misunderstood when you guys get to one of his movies. Yeah, I agree 100% with you, Fiore. I think he's a very creative director. I just think that he's had some missteps, and I know that he had a pretty big tragedy in his life. I know during Justice League, I believe his daughter passed away, and so there was a lot going on with him. So I don't, you know, it's, you know, and I just, that's the thing about these superhero franchises, mm-hmm. is that if you're involved in them and somehow you are put under a bigger microscope than most other directors, in my opinion. The hell is that? Parkour.
Parkour.
I wish I could just pull up the video of Michael Scott and Dwight and freaking Andy Bernard from The Office just doing parkour in The Office horribly.
Oh, hey,
Johnny!
It's that guy.
Here's Johnny. Oh, right. Back to it. The next episode that came out in March was our episode with, speaking of Paul from the Flicks and Friends podcast, we did an episode with him on The Great Mouse Detective. That one did pretty well for an animated movie. Our animated films are very hit and miss for us when we cover them. They're a lot of fun to cover, but sometimes people just don't give a shit about animated films, especially listening to people talk about them. Especially a more mature podcast like us, we're not, you know, friendly. So it's not like we're like, hey guys, listen, have your kids listen to our Great Mouse. No, kids should not be listening to the show.
No.
I remember having to tell my sister that. She's like, yeah, I showed your nephew. And I was like, oh no, why did you do that?
Sometimes I'll vet clips of ours and I'll like show the kids, but like as long as they're not like too outlandish,
right?
Like,
yeah,
like, oh, you're on TV, and I was like, yeah.
I mean,
they find it entertaining to some extent.
Sometimes my wife likes to put the live streams on the big TV, so maybe we're up there right now. My kids just heard, you know, dick tuck about 12 times.
Dick Tucker Society. Oh, Parker's wife, you need to be on this. If you can hear this now, you need to join.
I've tried. Hey, guys, you gotta believe me. You gotta believe me. I've tried.
I know, but it's one of those things, you know, when, okay, this is not to equate your wife to this, but you know how when you like tell like your kids or something to do something and they won't do it, but when somebody else tells them the exact same thing and they do it because it's not you.
Yeah.
We could do like blur her face and then she'll move, but the blur won't. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, Johnny, no kid should listen to this show. Raise them right. No, raise them right. Don't listen to Dissect That Film if you're a child.
Take that JK off. Adults.
Yeah.
That's true facts.
Fix that comment. Oh, man. Then our next episode was not a part of our 1986 series. It was our St. Patrick's Day episode on Leprechaun 2 with our good friend Official Joey C. It is always an absolute blast hanging out with Joey, especially when you're talking about movies like Leprechaun 2. He's been on the show 3 times now, and they've all been holiday themed movies. He started off with Ernest Scared Stupid, which is a Halloween movie. Then he did the Polar Express with us, and then he did Leprechaun 2. So he is just Official Joey C is our holiday guy. So when we have a quirky holiday movie we want to talk about, I can always rely on Joe. I can just tell me like, hey, hop on the show, and he's usually right there. So that was another one that was fun. It did pretty well, and it's one of those things, guys, that we're kind of going through this thing right now where for the last like 2 years before we took our break, the show was like gradually growing and it was doing pretty well. And then we were like, we need to take a break. But the problem was, is I didn't properly plan our break. So we didn't have episodes for like a month. And so now we're kind of restarting again, or at least it feels like it in a way where, you know, we're trying to, we kind of like almost fell to the bottom and now we're trying to like climb back up again and get listeners and get more people to check out the show. So it's been a eventful couple months being back. And now knowing what we went through leaving for that month, I'm going to plan better when we decide to take a break. So we're going to be taking breaks. You guys just won't know about it because we're going to be building up episodes so that things are consistently keep going. But sometimes behind the scenes, we're actually not going to be doing anything. So,
oh, I'll be doing stuff.
Yeah,
off camera
with his right hand, and then his left hand when he wants to feel something different.
Listen, on one hand, I'll enjoy the break, and on the other hand, I'll have lotion. So,
and then he puts it in the basket.
Puts it in the basket. Good Lord!
Oh my goodness!
Then bad lotion. What if it's not like Jergens or whatever? What if it's like Great Value or Suave? Like, nobody wants that on their skin.
I know. Imagine that. Imagine like the girl in the well. She's like, she puts a lotion on. It's like, this is awful. This isn't going to moisturize my skin. How dare you? You want to skin me alive? Give me proper lotion, you bastard.
Yeah, that sounds like a skit. That's like,
I have better lotion for everybody.
For everybody checking us out on Instagram, on our first ever Instagram live, thank you. Hopefully, we don't get banned in the first ever time. You know, we've been talking about dick tucks and lotion and being skinned alive. So this is great, great stuff. So thank you to everybody who has joined us over on Instagram.
I'm gonna go get a shirt made that's just like the letter Y, but like seductively drawn and just Dick Tucker Society. Just wear it on here one time. I'm going to send one to Joey C if I get him to wear one too. Like when he's on one of our episodes. Oh my God, I bet he'd do it.
That'd be fun. That'd be fucking really
sweet. Anyway, carry on. I'll forget the whole thing about this like tomorrow, so it's fine.
You'll forget before this is over.
Then we hung out with our good friend Darren Lundberg from NostalgiaCast and Back to Bluey, and we talked about Big Trouble in Little China. I was blanking real quick. I was like, what did we talk about again? And that was the winner of the month. That episode was our best performing episode. It blew up. People really loved it. I got a lot of comments on social media, people, you know, recommending the episode to other people. I love seeing that. And so thank you to everybody who checked out that episode. Thank you to everybody who's checked out every episode that we've put out. We really appreciate you. People that have been checking out older episodes. It's always fun when you're like, oh shit, somebody's actually checking out an episode I hated, because it's one of our really old ones. So yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening to our Godzilla episode, our very first episode, which is like one of the worst recordings that we've ever done. That's why we're redoing it this weekend.
Yes. Yes, we are.
It's a lot of fun. And then to end the month, we talked with Wyatt from Cinema Trip Reviews. He came back on the show once again, and we talked about possibly an episode that when I planned on doing the movie, I did not expect it to be as funny and as good as it was when we recorded it. I had an absolute blast talking about The Life of Brian from 1979, the Monty Python comedy. It was just rewatching that movie after a very long time of not seeing it and then talking about it. It was so much fun. I was laughing from beginning to end. It was such a blast. And it just made me realize we need to cover more comedies on the show, because we don't cover enough.
The People's Judea Front. Fuck off. We're the Judean People's Front.
It's so funny. It's so funny. No lotion, go dry. I don't think that's how it works though.
No, unfortunately. I know how it works.
Don't go dry. Get the lotion just in case. Get Dan a Dove Man Plus Care sponsorship.
Start at Dove Man, and then I will end up at the peak, which is Manscaped. That is like the peak of, you know, the care, skincare, man skincare. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I see it on bigger channels, like YouTube channels. What the fuck? I don't know.
We'll get a spot. We'll get a sponsorship someday. We might have to be like 10 years into this thing. Like,
no, you can have it if Dan leaves.
No, like, all right. We won't. new or old episodes are always good. Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is I never get too stressed out when like I release an episode and it may not get that many downloads like on the first day, because some episodes just they creep, man. Because like, for instance, Big Trouble in Little China was our best performing episode of March, but we got like a bunch today. Like, we're really? 5 days, we're like two, three weeks outside of the episode being out, and we got a pretty decent amount of downloads today. So it's like it's so random, you know, how it works. You know, it's people's interest. I mean, like I said, we get downloads on episodes from 3 years ago. So cool. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I always appreciate it.
And yeah, and then so far here in April, since that was the month of 1986 was a lot of fun. We got to talk about a lot of fun movies, and we even got a couple movies that weren't part of the series, but it was still great to especially Life of Brian. That was an unexpected movie. I just kind of was like, what's a good movie to talk about around Easter? And I saw that movie and I was like, Monty Python, fuck it, let's do it. And not knowing 100% what that movie was going to be like and how we were going to do it, I was actually really nervous about covering Life of Brian, because I was like, how are we going to be able to talk about it with not being offensive? Or, you know, because it's one of those type of movies. I mean, we talked about it in the episode, the fact that it was banned in a lot of countries because people found it offensive. And it was kind of like trying to not go over the top, but still being like, you know what? It's a fucking movie. It's a comedy. We're going to have fun with this. And if people don't like that or people are offended in some way, I guess that's just your interpretation of what we're talking about or what the movie's talking about. So you kind of just got to go with the flow there.
I have a goal. A new goal
to get the show.
I want to be banned in a country. Like, I just think I'd be sweet. Like, I don't go anywhere anyway, so like,
oh my god,
I think it'd be a fun thing to strive for.
I mean, yeah, why not? So we also this month we also released our Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 review that I did with Dustin from the Flicks and Friends podcast, and my brother Adam came back and got to hang out with us for that. That was a lot of fun. Actually, the writer of the movie, shortly like the day after we released the episode, followed us on Twitter, X, whatever.
That's
so sweet. That's cool. And the composer, Andrew Scott Bell, commented on our YouTube video and commented on a post. So that's cool. So hopefully we can get him to follow the show. And maybe one day I can get these guys on the show. We could talk about a movie. It doesn't even have to be those movies. It could just be a movie. I want to get like that would be awesome to be able to do that. It's cool that we're getting like that. Like, people are seeing what we're doing and following us, and people that I think are like, holy shit, it's the writer of the movie we talked about. Like, I never thought when we started the show that was going to ever be a thing, but
right
here we are. Here we are.
I'm just glad we have anybody here to watch and talk to.
Yeah, right. Like, the fact that people watch this show, it still blows my mind almost 2 years later.
Me too.
And then today we released our very first episode of our month of 1991 series, which is The Silence of the Lambs with Allie from the Quad Pro Quo podcast. That was Angela's pick for the month. Next week is Dan's pick, where we had a guest. His name is the famous Tony from Hack the Movies, as I display my awesome Hack the Movie shirt. He will be joining us next week for The Guyver from 1991. So you're going from like this super serious, like psychological thriller to this just absolutely batshit crazy practical effect fest with Mark Hamill, who's not even the lead character. Spoiler.
And J.J. Walker.
And J.J. Walker. Right. Like,
who knew we'd have that combination in the movie?
Yeah, but it was really fun having Tony back. And I know Fiore is probably very excited about that. Johnny, you know, people who also watch Hack the Movies a lot, I know you guys will be very excited to see that collaboration. We were very excited to have him back on the show. So that's very fun. Then we still have some recordings to do. So we have we're recording this weekend. We are recording our 3-year anniversary episode. We're not doing a live show like we did last year because it was kind of a mess last year. I was not very happy with our 2-year anniversary episode. Or no, it was our 100th episode.
100,000.
Yeah, something like that. You know, we did an episode where we rewatched our very first episode, and I did not like it. I did not like how it came out. It was not good. So we usually for our anniversary episodes we'll do like a live stream kind of thing. But this year, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be recording an episode and we're going to be redoing one of our old episodes. So this year we are going back to the very beginning and we are rewatching Godzilla 2014 and we're going to be redoing the entire episode. So we are going to be and hopefully we'll have every single person who was on that original episode. Dan and Angela, of course, will be here as they are now.
Yeah, we can't
official.
Leave.
If you can't see, but they have chains that are strapped to their desks.
We're in a well. Yeah. It's just nice.
Yeah. I let him decorate.
lotion, always. There's just a bottle of stack of empty lotion bottles right over here.
They don't realize that when I leave to go to the bathroom that I don't actually go out the door. I'm stuck here.
Hey, I was just talking about these motherfuckers. They're here.
They are.
We got some. Oh, go ahead, though. Don't jump in front of a comment.
So K Doozle, 1991 for one. Ooh. Born on a good year. And
allegedly.
they comment a lot on our video. So thank you so much for all the interaction that you give us over on YouTube. Because our YouTube videos don't get a whole lot of love. So I love when an episode has like 30 views, we still get like 2 or 3 comments. I'm like, all right. I don't care about the views. I just like the interaction. So saw Godzilla X Kong on Tuesday with a friend of mine. We thought it was enjoyable enough. The human storyline was boring, but the kaiju fights were a lot of fun. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that when we get into our fresh cuts.
There's going to be some words on Godzilla to say, brother.
Yeah. Only Dan's. We got Flicks and Friends here. Yes. And The Guyver, the most anticipated action movie of its time, right? The direct-to-video.
Hey, it's anticipated for me, even though I didn't know what it was back then. Yeah. So,
no, it was a blast of a movie to watch, and it was a really fun episode to record, especially getting to hang out with Tony again. So, he always brings the goods. So, I'm very excited. I gotta I'm a little behind on editing, so I gotta get to editing that episode because the next couple episodes are all close to like 2 hours each. So I'm like, oh god. This is why I start these things early.
This job would be great if it wasn't for the fucking guests, dude. I swear. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, the guests just make episodes longer, but you know, it is what it is. We always know when Darren's on the show, it's going to be a 2.5 to 3 hour episode.
Yeah. Darren, ride the clock, Lumberg. Run the clock. It's a ride the clock or run the clock. Either one. It's interchangeable. We love you, Darren. It's an affectionate title.
Yes. Yes. I love The Guyver. We do too. We're very excited to talk about that. Tony's good. Dan's goods. Whose is better? I don't know.
I guess I gotta
whip them out and then we gotta judge them that way.
I can tell you right now, listen.
Plop them on the table.
I think my boss, we don't have to talk to him today. He's like, listen. He was like talking to somebody. He said, listen, I will give you $1 billion, but you have to have a 2-inch penis. And I thought, wow, I'm going to get $1 billion and an extra inch. That's all win. Like, that's what I'm thinking of for myself. So, but no, Tony has clout, dude. He's got clout, fame. He was in Batman, title character, like title role. He was on the marquee. I seen it one time. It's Tony.
He talks about it enough, so.
Yeah, it has to be true.
Fiore, every time, I swear to God, every live stream, he's asking that we need to bring Crystal or Johanna from Hacked Movies on. And I'm getting there. All right. I have to, it's one of those things where it's like, you want to know the true story about the first time I ever messaged Tony, I was really drunk and when I'm really drunk, that's when I start to get like, okay, I have, affectionate. I have no, No, it's one of those things where you're just like, when you're you know, a little saucy, you're just like, oh, now I have like the like my nerves are gone. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to finally message Tony. And he messaged me back. And so that's how it all started, to just message someone who I've never really talked to. So I've never talked to either one of them. I don't know why I'm saying talking. What's happening to me here? Words are hard. I've never spoken to either one of, yes, Dan, thank you for the English lesson, because I suck at speaking.
I suck too. I'm trying to fuck you up.
Go ahead. Why is this taking so long for me to say? I've never spoken to either one of them. And so it's really hard for me to figure out how I'm going to approach, like, hey, have you ever heard of us? We've had Tony on the show. Do you want to be on the show sometime? Like, I don't know how to go about it. So it's going to happen, hopefully, someday. So just keep asking me. One of these days I'm going to say, yes, Fiori, it's happening. We have it scheduled and all that fun stuff.
I think that's just anybody you talk to.
I hear you, Parker. Don't sweat it. Love you, dude. Hey, Johnny. We appreciate all the support that you give us. It's one of those things where it's like, I think people get really antsy when they're like, they follow the show and they listen to all the episodes and they're like, oh man, I'm so sorry. I'm like three episodes behind. I was like, it's okay. They ain't going nowhere. I couldn't take them off. Like, oh, sorry. That's a 2 week time limit. See you later. But episode like gone forever.
Episodes behind. So it's fine.
I'm every episode behind. Oh,
I can't
behind.
Hear you guys. What happened?
Uh-oh.
Your audio just completely cut out.
We have no audio.
Can you guys hear him? Or did my headphones just give out?
I hear you.
You can hear me? Oh boy,
that's weird.
Did my headphones just fucking quit? Oh, Skettios.
Did they get unplugged?
I don't know. That's cool. Just gotta make sure I unplug the right thing.
Yep, Johnny hears us.
We win.
I had to get one in. I didn't do one at the beginning. Did you spin on it?
Oh, yes.
I can't tell if he's just saying that or he's actually replying.
Hello?
Here it is.
Hello?
Nope.
Fuck.
Oh, no. Hey, somebody. That's our show. Woo! No,
yes,
kidding.
It's okay, let's keep going. Anyway, what I was going to say is...
Just kidding.
I'm going to start taking questions. I'm not going to jump in front of Fiori because that's a fair question about Pacific Rim Uprising. I don't know who's calling. Fiori is asking a question about, or he agrees with me about Pacific Rim Uprising.
I can't see anything.
You agree with me about Pacific Rim Uprising is not good. And you, so yeah, no, not at all. Like, not even in the slightest. You know, I like John Boyega. Like, I mean, I'm like a huge fan of him, but I liked him in Attack the Block, which I had seen before Uprising. And it's just it's the way it's shot. It's I don't know. It just doesn't have the bye. He's dead.
No.
Parker's dead. All right. It does not have the passion or the love of when it was Del Toro doing it. And he had probably had his reasons for not doing the sequel, even though I wish he would have. But there you have it. Joey C is the manliest man ever.
I still like always. Pacific Rim Uprising.
Huh?
Y'all can kiss
what
my ass.
What the hell just happened? Now my camera's gone.
I said I
hey.
Still like Pacific Rim Uprising, and y'all can kiss my ass.
That's fine. I just don't care for it.
What? Where am I with my camera?
What is your camera? Is that the ground?
It's my backup camera.
Oh. Hi!
Hey!
So we're
Parker's vlogging.
So you can hear us now, right?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but my camera just decided to shit the bed. That's cool.
That's
I guess cool. I got to use my backup cam.
Hey, we see the guy. The guy. The shark dude.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
Golly, look at that.
I don't
gotta love live streams, guys.
Back there.
Yeah, but it's a different angle now.
Oh my gosh, It's still the same thing.
I think the live stream froze over on Instagram.
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
Hang on. I have it pulled up.
Angel's gonna check it. I forwarded Fiori's question and the follow one about Joey C being manly.
Yeah, Joey C is very manly. Dan, I will agree with you. Pacific Rim is not good. Yeah, I didn't like Pacific Rim Uprising, but that's pretty much all I'll talk about.
The problem was I had too high of a standard for that film after seeing the first one. It was just nowhere even close.
So I think my biggest issue with Uprising is just it's not as fun. Like I think the Kaiju Jaeger fights are cool, but I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I just rewatched Pacific Rim, the first one, because I'm going on a podcast to talk about it. Is it frozen though, or is it still? Are we still moving?
No, nope, okay, we're still moving.
My preview is frozen, so I guess that was where I was worried about it. Yeah, the only thing I think I can say that I dislike about Pacific Rim is I'm not a big Charlie Hunnam fan. I don't think he's that good, and he's the lead character of that movie, so it's kind of sucks. But freaking Idris Elba's great, and Charlie Day, and all the rest of those supporting actors. I think Charlie Hunnam is just the weakest link, and it sucks. But it's one of those things like I like when we talk about Godzilla 2014. Kind of, you know, I really enjoy that movie, but the lead character is so fucking boring. He is just a cardboard cutout of a person moving around place to place. So
my dad died. I'm gonna take a train home with a nuke. I'll see you tonight, honey.
But it's one of those things where it's like I still enjoy that movie for what it is. I just the lead character is just not as fun.
Nobody gets suplexed in it either, so
Dan, I got a Superhuman Samurai VHS a couple days ago.
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, aka Gridman, which is, oh my god, the opening. What is it? Is it it's Baby Don Don or Baby Dan Dan? That's the opening theme in the Japanese one. Like, I was like, Baby Don Don. Yes, it's good stuff.
As soon as you said that, it started playing in my head.
I haven't seen very much of the Japanese Gridman, but I remember waking up at like the ass crack of dawn on like the weekends to watch Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. And I had one of the toys. I had the dragon one. I bought it at a KB toy store. Well, I got it at a KB toy store. I had no fucking money. But good hit. I'm sure it's Dustin, but good hit, Dustin.
Yeah, Fiore says Del Toro and crew could have made nice stories within that universe fighting kaiju and whatnot. I think Del Toro just wanted to move on. He had other stories to tell. I think he was a little sour after what happened after Hellboy 2, because I knew he wanted to make another Hellboy, and then things kind of fell through with it. Yeah, I would love, and Dan's the one who kind of put it out into the universe, the fact that Del Toro really needs to direct a Godzilla movie, and Pacific Rim is definitely the movie that kind of gives you that. Yeah, he could do it. He could do it, and he could do it really well.
Dude, I've seen videos of him, like I've talked about before, going to Japan and meeting the Ultra Kaiju, and I swear it's like the biggest kid in the world. He's supposed to, like, he just runs up and fucking hugs Bolt and Seijin. If you know who this is, you're just fine. Just, it's fucking wonderful in Pigmon or Garamon. And that's what I want to do.
I want to see Pigmon.
Pigmon! And then he has the balloon and he gets crushed. Son of a bitch. Yeah, no, been there. But yeah, I think the biggest issue is I'm going to tell you right now, my biggest issue with Uprising is there's no weight in any of the fights. And in the original movie, every time they got in the Jaeger, it felt like these fuckers could die at any time.
Yeah.
There's none of that in the sequel. All the way. All the, like, risk is gone.
It's kind of like a beat-em-up. Yeah. When, like, that's what Uprising is. It's like, they should have just had it, like, zoom, do a wide shot of the Kaiju and the Jaeger, and then they just go at it for a while. You have the health bars go down. And
heaven or hell, let's walk.
Yes. Where, like, the beginning of, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about it because I'm going to be talking about it in detail probably very soon. I will make sure to tag myself in whatever, whenever that episode comes out. But my thing is that one of the shots of that movie is literally when our main character and his brother go out in their Jaeger and they fight this kaiju and they, like, shit happens. And then you have this awesome shot of this dad and his son walking along the shoreline, and then out of like the mist is this broken Jaeger that's just this monstrous thing, and it just collapses. And every time a fight happens between a kaiju and a Jaeger, you're like, yeah, it's not just going to be the Jaeger going out there beating the shit out of them. Like, these kaijus are putting up a fight, and sometimes winning. Yep. You know, and and I agree, when you get to Uprising, it's just like, yeah, it's just they're just fighting, they're just, it's just taking two action figures and doing this a bit, and then we move on to the next thing. So
it's like any Resident Evil game prior to 3, and then comparing it to Resident Evil 6. It's like, oh, Resident Evil.
Sure. I'm glad Parker elaborated on that after he
slapped the cheeks.
Oh, God. So let's see. And then he got screwed over not directing The Hobbit. Yeah, because I think probably Peter Jackson kind of just had such a strong hold on that. One movie. Yeah.
Just one movie, guys. That's all we
need. So I have zero interest in ever watching any of those Hobbit movies. I had the toys, Superhuman, Samurai, Cyber Squad. I had Servo, the dragon, and the robot one. I don't know this show, so I have no idea what we're talking about.
I do want to state this since we are talking about Superhuman, Samurai, Cyber Squad. I recommend, if you can find a place to watch it, watch the recent anime adaptation. Recent. It's several years old now, but it was SSS Gridman. And I really highly recommend it. The first episode is beautifully done. I know not everybody's a big anime person, but like, there is no music in the entire, like almost the entire first fucking episode. It's all very beautifully shot. The ambiance is amazing. And once it gets into like the kaiju and the fight, it's a really good show. I didn't finish the first season because I'm shooting it watching TV shows, but it was awesome. I assure you it's good. But if it's not, if you like, again, for Dustin, not liking anything drawn, I wonder if he just attacks like little kids, like art on the wall. He's like, fuck this. And just like, anyway, I'm just kidding. If you're not an anime, don't watch it. But it's a really good show from what I saw.
So I agree, Dustin, that Uprising, all the fights were during the day. I think that's what's so fun about the first one is like, it's, you have the, a lot of it's at night. You have the rain, you have like the neon of, I think it was Hong Kong that there was one of the fights, which is really cool. And it just, yeah, it also just, it made it seem more dangerous where it's like, all right, guys, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, we're gonna have a kaiju Jaeger fight
for breakfast. Yeah,
no, it's about noon, it's high noon. They just meet in town square, yeah. Tumbleweeds.
And I like, listen, I like John Boyega, I really do. I think he's one of the bright spots of the Star Wars sequel series or sequels. But he wasn't very likable in that movie. And no. they killed off the only like returning character from the prior movie, other than I think the two scientists. I think Charlie Day was in it, and I think it was Bernd Gorman who plays the other scientist. And then it was kind of weird, like the whole like how things happen in that movie too. I think it was like, wasn't Charlie Day like possessed by like the kaiju maker because of what he did in the first movie? And you're like,
because he what they call it?
It was like bridged with the.
They drifted together. Yeah. With the ass brain, and he. that's the Godzilla reference. People will understand if you've seen the movie. You know about the Godzilla ass brain. But anyway, yeah, which I don't mind that concept. I just didn't think it was executed well.
Are we still live over on Instagram right now?
I should be.
Yeah.
Okay. Has there been any comments? Because I don't know. I don't know if it's been updating.
Just mine.
Just yours? Okay.
Yeah.
Just,
son of a bitch, Dustin.
Oh, speaking of Resident Evil. Oh, boy. Yeah. Dan and Angela are super excited about talking about Resident Evil. When you drift, it's with
family. Are we going to please tell me we're going to get... Dude, holy shit. Couldn't we get, I didn't watch this show very much, or really watch the show, but we could they do a crossover with Pacific Rim and Megas XLR? Because wasn't that like a car? Like it was like a giant robot, but like driving, like piloting was like a car, but just have Vin Diesel do it. So it could be like Gypsy Danger and then like a car and he can drift. And that's how they beat, I don't know, aliens that eat petroleum.
they're going to end up with a crossover with Pacific Rim and Transformers. You know that.
No, one day.
Don't
do that. We almost got that with Godzilla and Kong. So,
Corona danger. Damn it.
Corona danger. What the fuck, dude? Don't. This is sounding like. Oh my god! I'm not getting into this.
Oh god. Yes, the precursors, which is a good idea. I'm not going to lie. What was? I don't even know. What is that? What were we talking about? What are the precursors? Did I miss something?
That's from, yeah.
Is that like the bridging thing?
It's the people who created the kaiju.
Oh, to be honest, I didn't even remember that they had names.
It's either that or it's a Jack and Daxter reference.
I'm gonna go watch this movie again.
Go watch by it. Myself. We have it upstairs. I don't think I ever opened the motherfucker.
Listen, I'd buy it if it was like $2. If I go to like a Goodwill and I find it, it's like, oh, it's only $2. Sure, why not?
Like, buy a lot of things for $2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Less nowadays.
No, I'm saying I would buy a lot.
I thought you said you could.
No, I'm not. Even...
Yeah, he jerked it with the Kaiju Second Brain and set up everything for the movie, even El Super Mega Ultra Kaiju. Yeah, my question was, Charlie Day and the other guy drifted with that second brain. I don't think the other guy was affected like Charlie Day was.
I think Charlie Day was like doing like a drug. He was like hitting it on the side.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, this just shows how it just shows that I wasn't hard. Corona danger. Jesus Christ. I'd buy that for $1. Oh my God.
We didn't hurry this up so we could talk about Kong. Not the rest.
Yeah. Godzilla X Kong guys. Is one day going to be a monster buddy cop movie. I mean, pretty much already. All right. Well, I think seriously, thank you everybody who supported us over the last month, who supported us over the last almost 3 years now. The one last thing before we go, actually, I do have something I do want to share before we hop into the fresh cuts.
Is this from yesterday?
We can share about what's going to be happening. So there's going to be a lot going on, a lot releasing next week. So Monday.
Spin the wheel.
Yeah, that'll be our, we'll do that before we hop into the Godzilla X Kong.
It's okay.
No, it just hit me. I was just reminded.
It's okay.
So we're going to have three episodes releasing next week. Monday will be our interview with the writer and one of the actors from the upcoming indie horror film called Vampire. We have Zoe Wasserman and Mordecai. I'm not even going to attempt his last name right now, unless I had it right.
His name? I don't know. I said like 40 different names when it came to his name. He just had the sock thing.
Oh my God.
No, I don't think it's, I don't know.
That's what.
I just he's probably right. I don't know. I don't remember. All right. I just remember Zoe.
He might be right.
I don't know. He's
knows.
100% right.
No, his name is Malachi. Yeah.
You just said Mordecai.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
I didn't say Mordecai. Matter. I said Malachi.
We're not leaving, Johnny. You could stay. Please stay, Johnny. It makes sense. I like food.
Yeah, you don't have to go anywhere, Johnny. We're not leaving yet. We still have a whole Godzilla X Kong review to talk about. We had an awesome interview. Here, I'll do it again. We had an amazing interview with Zoe Wasserman and Malachi. As I said before, not going to try to pronounce his last name right now unless I had it right in front of my face, which I don't. So we talked about their upcoming awesome indie horror film called Vampire. It is still getting funding through Indiegogo. So go to Indiegogo.com, search for Vampire, Bampire, and help support that movie. It looks so much like so much fun. I can't wait for it to come out. It's supposed to come out later this year. So that'll be on Monday. Wednesday, I'm going to be releasing the audio form of our Godzilla X Kong review. On Wednesday, and then Friday will be our Guyver episode with Tony from Hack the Movies. So we have a lot of stuff going on. And then, and then let me pull up a fun little thing that we got. Hopefully I didn't delete it.
I'll be in the interview in spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, I point at you. I'm like, she's right. I may have tossed things at you on camera, but you were asleep. You didn't know.
You trying to wake me up?
No,
I was trying to sleep for work. Thanks.
So one of the cool things that I noticed yesterday is that we are one of the top 100 film review podcasts in the UK. So that's cool.
Really?
Thanks you to all of our wonderful UK listeners for checking us out.
Crumpets.
We got another review though, open on Apple Podcasts. So, So I get emails from this wonderful site called Chartable, which shows us kind of like where we chart on Apple Podcasts and stuff. And it also sends us reviews if we get any over on Apple Podcasts. And we got one. We got a 5-star from Musa Shakik. That is a name right there. But here it is. This gets me through my workday. I'm a dog groomer and just recently started listening. I'm obsessed, and this podcast is my go-to for my workday. Thank you so much. That really means a lot. Like, the fact that people are just stumbling upon our show and listening and actually going, oh, that's a fun show to listen to.
Yeah, that's awesome, because as like myself, and I'm sure Parker has times, and even, you know, we all do, we get to, like, we're at work and we're trying to listen to something to kill time, and like just having a good podcast you can just turn on any time just to make your day go by, that's great. So I'm glad to hear that we do that for other people. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I thank you so much for that amazing review. Seriously, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, which is literally the app that pretty much the majority of our listeners listen to us on, we only have, I think, 18 reviews over there, but we get hundreds upon hundreds of downloads over there throughout the month. So if you haven't left us a review, please do that. It really helps. I mean, I guess it really helps get the engagement up. It really helps the show kind of grow. So please, even you don't have to leave a review, just, you know, throw 5 stars up there or throw however many stars you think we deserve. It's really cool to read people's comments on how much you love the show, or even if you don't like the show, we've got that 1-star review. It's still there. It doesn't go away. So, appreciate everybody for all the support. Yeah. I mean, that's about it for, I think, the show stuff. And now we're going to do something for our Patreon, which is spin the wheel to figure out what monster movie we are going to be talking about for the month of April. We already did that one. That was last month's episode, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, did we upgrade it? Because we were going to take put the next one on.
I don't know if we ever came up with anything.
Yeah, we were going to put the second one on there.
Yeah, put the second
Hang on. I didn't do it because we hadn't recorded or whatever. We hadn't recorded.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know what we're doing, so every month we spin the wheel full of monster movies, and whatever one it lands on, we cover it for our show over on patreon.com/dissectthatfilm called The Monster Zone, which is a Patreon exclusive show that is hosted by Dan and Angela, and it is for our $5 tier members. So it's a, you know, it's one of those things that we have fun doing, and hopefully the $5 tier members enjoy listening to it. Because it's something fun. It's something that we decided to do a while ago. Actually, Dan is the one who initially came up with the idea to do it. And it's been fun, because I've literally never seen the majority of the movies we cover on the show. And it's always nice to give back to people who are giving us a little bit of their change out of their pockets and helping support us, you know, financially in any way they can. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Gives me an excuse to relive my ancestral YouTube days when I used to just review films like this. So
Johnny's being mean.
No, he's telling you to wake up.
I am awake. I can't help it. I was up at 4 a.m.
That's understandable. So we ready?
Yes, man, let's do this.
What do you got to do?
Share my screen.
Oh, you got to share the screen. That's right. I forgot.
But I don't remember how to do it.
Present.
Where? Or right there.
Wiggle the handle.
It's your screen.
No, I'm just being an idiot. So forgive me. That's normal. Sorry. I don't think I need to announce that.
We don't do all this right. One enough for me to remember.
Here is our wheel of movies. Let's do this.
That's what time I have to get up to go to work, Fury.
Big whammy. Big money. No whammies. No whammies. No whammies. Oh, that's good though. That's a good one.
Came from Beneath the Sea.
That's a good one.
That will be our April 2024 episode of The Monster Zone. It's not one that we have like a specific date that they come out. It's pretty much whenever we get a chance to get together and record the episode, and then whenever I edit the episode and get it out. So sometimes you won't get the episode till almost the end of the month, which that's just how it works sometimes. But we're going to try to get this recorded and edited and out to our Mark Wahlberg Book Club members over on patreon.com/dissectthatfilm very, very soon. Also, I'm just going to say it now. I know we've talked about it as a group, and I know Angela really got excited about possibly making some apparel for the Mark Wahlberg Book Club, which we really want to make and then give it to our current members that are over there to kind of be like, thanks.
I will work on that this weekend.
Send it to Mark Wahlberg as well.
Yeah, and we're gonna send one to Mark Wahlberg, so then he sues us for using
his name. Anonymously. Where'd you get this, Sally? I don't know.
So that's
put Hooked on Phonics on the
right. Oh, I will say it came from I can't remember. Is either a effects by Willis O'Brien or Ray Harryhausen.
Yes, I've heard of this movie, and I've probably seen it when I was a kid because it's one of those movies. But I'm very excited. Let's see currently where it's streaming.
I'm gonna see if I can find a.
What is it? It Came Beneath the Sea.
It
Came With Me Beneath the Sea.
Yeah.
I came beneath the sea. There's a comma.
From 1955.
Come yes.
So currently you have to rent it. But I probably could find it on like Internet Archive or something. Might know an artist. I know some artists too, but I think Angela was gonna try to her hand into making it herself for that. I am gonna be reaching out to that artist who I think you're talking about, Dustin, for some course show stuff, like maybe a spiffy new logo or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Or an alternative logo.
Oh.
Come. So many comes.
I cometh, sir.
All right. Well, that is going to be it for the core live stream. Now what we're going to be doing, we're going to be leaving Instagram. We appreciate everybody who watched us from over there. Thank you so much for checking out our first Instagram Live. I'm going to be trying to do stuff with Instagram Live down the road, maybe doing some stuff with just me kind of just sitting here, maybe during an edit or something. While I'm editing an episode, I'll pull up an Instagram Live and you guys can hang out with me while I do that and ask me questions or whatever. But yeah, I'm going to try to do this kind of like every single time we do our end of month live streams. Are going to hop over on Instagram. So I'm going to end the Instagram Live, but if you want to continue watching this and watch our Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire review or our fresh cuts, please hop over to youtube.com/dissectthatfilm, or you can go to twitch.tv/dissectthatfilm and watch the rest of the show over there. So thank you to everybody checking us out on Instagram. Hopefully we'll see you on the other side.
Johnny.
What are you doing?
Johnny. thinking of SpongeBob. Hey, all you people, won't you listen to me? I made this sandwich. No ordinary sandwich. It's a sandwich made with jellyfish jelly. Sorry.
Oh, my God. All right, we are now into our Godzilla. Wait a second before we hop into this.
Look at Dustin, all about the.
I know he's spoiling the movie.
Kid abuse.
Gosh. Fucker deserved it too.
All right, we got a comment. I want to hear about little monkeys. I want to hear about little monkeys getting thrown around.
Dustin, all about the child abuse. Like, dang.
All right. So now we are going to be talking about Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire. Welcome to Fresh Cuts. Actually, let me do the proper intro to Fresh Cuts because we got to do it just like we're not live right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Fresh Cuts, where we look at the latest releases in theaters or on your favorite streaming services. I am Brett Parker. Joining me, as always, my wonderful co-host Dan and Angela of DNA Gaming, or as the screen says, just Dan.
Wait.
Just say just Dan. It's been that way the whole time.
I said yes. I didn't realize you changed. I wasn't even looking.
Because you were here. I can't say you're here. That's false advertisement.
Oh, so today.
I was here.
Yeah, you were. You were here in spirit. So yeah, today we are talking about the newest addition to the MonsterVerse, the franchise that started it all for us here at Dissect That Film. We are talking about Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. Yes. This movie was directed by Adam Wingard, who came back after directing Godzilla versus Kong. It was also this movie was written by Terry Rossio, who we've talked about before on the show, as he wrote the majority of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Really?
So, yeah, he came in and was a writer for this, along with Simon Barrett and Jeremy Slater. The story was done by Rossio, Adam Wingard, and Simon Barrett. This stars coming back. We have quite a few returning cast here. We have Rebecca Hall as Dr. Eileen Andrews. We have Brian Tyree Henry as Bernie Hayes. We have a new addition with Dan Stevens as Trapper. We have Kaylee Hoddle as Gia. And yeah, those are our kind of our returning. And then we have, you know, and Dan Stevens, he's a new addition, but he's a pretty prominent character with our human characters in this movie. So this movie was released March 29, 2024 out of budget of $135 million. And currently, according to Wikipedia, it could be higher. It is sitting at $218.4 million. The movie made a lot of money over its opening weekend. I think it was like $94 million in its opening weekend, or over $100 million. It's absolutely bonkers. So
domestically, yeah, made over $200 million internationally.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane. So yeah, let's go around the room and talk about, we're going to be doing spoiler free first, and then we always hop into spoilers. So let's go around and talk about what we thought of Godzilla X Kong. Dan, would you like to start?
Yes, I would.
All right.
And now I really, it just reminded me, it's been so long since we've done this. I have to tell people about why they should watch the movie without telling them about the movie. There may be a monkey in it. There may be a lizard in it.
Really?
It's,
are you sure that's a spoiler?
It's good times. Good times. And it reminds me, actually, it harkens greatly back to the late 60s and early 70s Godzilla films, in my opinion. Not like just as like a direct homage, but I just inspired by a lot of that. And I'd say it's a much more focused film. And if you're looking for kaiju combat, which most people often are when they watch these movies, this is a great film to watch for that. And that's all I'm gonna say, because I feel like I would just say something I'm not supposed to. But you should watch it a lot, all the time, 24/7. Dicks out for Doug.
Need some Doug, damn it.
That may be a spoiler. Dicks out for Doug.
Yeah, Doug was in the last one. It's fine. He shows back.
Yeah, but he's sorry. Back.
I love Doug. I love those types of characters, though.
I love
the derpy, like, pet.
Yeah,
well, type characters.
I was a tweet online that he's reading. He's like, I went to see this with my with my family, and then this specific scene happened, and I had to nudge my parents. I'm like, oh, his name's Doug. Hey, that's it. Go ahead, Derek. You talk about.
So this, we went and watched this in theaters last week.
Yeah, Saturday morning, or Saturday. No, it was midday because we had to wait. Yeah. It was on. It was the day before Easter.
Yeah.
Another thing happened on Easter.
Yeah.
That's not relevant to this movie.
So this was a new experience for us because we took our youngest two. Our oldest didn't want to go watch it.
Well, they've been to movies before.
But not like this. Like it. This is a. I'm getting there.
I'm just looking.
Sorry. Things are happening.
What's going on upstairs?
I just heard a thunk. Sorry, that was not noises that normally happen in our house. Not like that.
No, I don't know what the fuck that was. But go ahead.
But our two youngest were not interested in seeing this. they were more concerned at how long the movie was going to be after we told them, you know, it's a long movie. Totally worth it, though. More often than not, I was sitting by my daughter. He was sitting by our son. They were asking all kinds of questions, and my daughter's just sitting there the whole time. She didn't sit back in the... Thought she was going to try and fall asleep because she was tired, but it got to a certain part in the movie where she did not even sit back in her seat. So if that tells you anything for an 8-year-old girl, and they kept, "Mom, Dad, they're doing this. What is this?"
Yeah, and we didn't get asked one time, "When is the movie over?"
Which is probably the first movie we have watched that question was not asked.
Yep, it's true facts.
That's funny.
So, I enjoyed this movie more through their experience than actually watching it myself, which I thoroughly enjoyed everything that happened. Like, I it's really hard for me to not give spoilers.
Right.
Just because it was so good. Like,
well, we're gonna get to them. So
I mean, I know I can't. It's so good. But I'm good.
All right. I mean, I went into this knowing exactly what I was getting. I mean, based on what we got with Godzilla versus Kong, we talked about it a long time ago. But just like seeing the trailers and what the trailers were showing us and everything, it's like I knew I had to not fully turn off my brain, but I had to really not compare it to anything else. Like, I think a problem is with this is that people are like, "Oh, you know, comparing it to Godzilla minus one. Why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? This is nothing. This is Adam Wingard did not go into this wanting to compete with that, not wanting to be the same thing as that. He went in exactly with what was left from Godzilla versus Kong, and he's given us more of that, just with some tweaks and some beautiful visuals and some unique new looks to our characters, and just giving us a good popcorn flick, man. Like, this is a movie you're gonna go into having just fun watching. Like, you can't take it too serious because it's so ridiculous, the things that happen in this movie, but it's fun to watch. Like, you're just having fun. Godzilla Minus One is the movie that you're watching for the emotional beats. Like, the human characters are very well written, and Godzilla is this, he's truly a monster. Like, he's truly this unstoppable force that is pretty much, and you know, it's a comparison to what the Japanese people went through during the war. Like, it's you know, it has all these deeper meanings, and I think that is what makes Minus One so beautiful and why it was all of our favorite movie of 2023. This movie isn't that, and that is fucking fine by me, because I don't want the same movie twice unless it is by the same people who did Minus One and we're expecting that. Like, Adam Wingard, he knew what he was doing. And to be honest, I would be fine with him being brought on to continue this franchise, especially where we're at, because it's one of those things where the MonsterVerse, it really started very serious. Like, Godzilla, like when Godzilla is introduced in 2014, like, he is this monstrous, menacing, you know, creature that causes destruction. And then later in the movie, he becomes the savior, misunderstood and stuff like that. And then, like, you know, we got Kong Skull Island, which is kind of our introduction to Kong, which is my favorite movie of this franchise still, even after this one. And we get to see Kong in his early years and what he is doing. And that's a pretty serious movie in itself. King of the Monsters, it starts getting a little bit crazier. You know, it's an all out monster fight with every kaiju you could think of from Godzilla, you know, history coming in here and being reimagined. And that movie's a lot of fun, probably a little too long. And then we get Godzilla versus Kong, which is our, which I think is culminated in the you know, bringing everything kind of together. This is kind of just going off the rails. Like, we're now on in like a different fucking stratosphere with where Godzilla X Kong is and these two characters and what these characters are doing now. And, you know, but I'm okay with it. I think we're so far outside of, I mean, we're 10 years out from when the MonsterVerse started to where we're at now. And it's like, I'm fine with Godzilla fucking sprinting, like full out fucking huffing it, going super fast. And you got, no, I get that. No, I totally get that. But I think a lot of people are just like, well, what, he wasn't doing that in Godzilla of 2014. It's like, yeah, but we're also 10 years out from that Godzilla. Like, this is a different, it's the same Godzilla, but it's a different, you know, he's gone through some changes, man. And we'll talk about all those changes when we get to the spoilers. But I mean, this is just a fun movie, man. I had a blast. Me and my son, my oldest, we kind of went on a whim. We were originally going to see it on a Monday, but we actually saw it Easter morning at like 9:30 in the morning. We were just sitting there. We had already did all the Easter stuff with them, and we had done breakfast, and we're like, let's just go. Like, we got nothing better to do. I'm awake. Let's go see Godzilla X Kong. And we had a blast. You know, it's always fun to, you know, ask him what he thought of it. And he was like, yeah, that was good. That was fun. So yeah, it was a fun theater experience. For some reason, I never really have bad theater experiences. Everybody's respectful and quiet and actually watches the fucking movie, which is
most
always a good time.
Ours are that way.
Yeah. I was surprised with the people sitting in front of us had two kids.
Yeah, I was expecting them to like noisy, like, monkey man.
There was literally
the screen, like, what the fuck, man?
Two other people in the theater when we sat down, and these people chose to sit right in front of us. I was like, damn it. Mm-hmm.
Collective head with knuckle. Come on.
But yeah, that's about as much as I can say without spoiling the movie, because I really want to get into the spoilers and really deep dive into this movie as much as we do on Fresh Cuts. We don't really want to go too deep, because we will be doing a core episode of this podcast on this movie, because we have covered every movie in the MonsterVerse and we have to continue.
Yeah, probably closer to physical release, I'm assuming.
Earlier. Yeah, that's 100%. I'm definitely gonna be snagging this on. I really want the steelbook of this. It's probably glorious.
Our Walmart, and I keep up with physical media king, tyrant, tycoon, whatever his fucking name is, oh lord of physical media on Twitter. And there was a new set of physical media discs that hit, steelbooks that hit our Walmart. Yours might have them too. They were there today.
My Walmart had Godzilla versus Kong on steelbook.
There was some other ones. It's not just Godzilla versus Kong, really.
No. But of the MonsterVerse movies, that was the only one that I saw. That was
That's all.
Because, like I said, I got the Hollow Man. There was Anaconda. There was like Street Fighter and stuff like that.
Yeah, I gotta pick up some more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna talk bad about King of the Monsters. I enjoy King of the Monsters. I really love all the redesigns of all. I mean, they're not like super different than what the original counterparts are, but I really like the new designs of the MonsterVerse versions of King Ghidorah and Rodan and Mothra and stuff like that. I really like what we got from that. I think it was just a little too long, and the human characters, there's just too many. There's just too many.
See, I can't wait to get into this, because I have an opposite opinion between those two movies, King of the Monsters and Godzilla and Kong, Godzilla versus King Kong. We'll get to that in the spoiler.
Mm. MonsterVerse Godzilla is built like an alligator or crocodile. If you don't know that, I know he's running on 2 feet. Like he's running like a sprinter, man. Like he's literally moving his arms like this. And I said I was okay with it. Like, I don't care. Like, to be honest, it made me laugh. Like, I was laughing watching Godzilla and Kong, like, literally sprinting next to each other to go into battle. It was really fun. Other than that, yeah, I mean, I think we can hop into spoilers now.
Please.
And really get into this. So, if you haven't seen Godzilla
Dan's over here, like, please.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Godzilla versus, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, and you don't want to be spoiled, please leave and then come back and listen to the episode when you have seen the movie, because we are about to spoil the shit out of this. So,
yeah, you need to watch it. So, please go do.
So let's talk about Godzilla X Kong with some spoilers now. Let's talk about some of the things that we didn't like, but let's start with the negatives. Okay. Let's just get it out of the way. Dan, after watching this movie, what were the, well, let's say like your top two things that you did not like about this movie?
I wasn't ready for this question.
Sorry. I wasn't ready for it either. Things? I just came out of my head.
No, that's fine.
Or you could just come up with reasons. You just come up with reasons, you know, some things that you didn't like about it.
There's it's too hot in our theater. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. So there's
the No, that was it was perfect. There are certain parts of all of the stuff with the Iwi, when they're inside the whatever they called it.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
That's what I felt like. But it was like, I felt like I was on LSD. Like, I couldn't keep up with everything.
That's that is one of my biggest. Yeah, that's one of my biggest complaints. Like, did you guys know? Like, maybe it was just my theater. I don't know, but like, I felt like when they were in Hollow Earth and like the humans are talking to each other, it seemed like you only got focus on them and like a little bit around, but everything else is like blurry. I'm like,
yeah,
what are we doing here? Like, is this just kind of like an effect that they wanted to be like, well, they're in Hollow Earth and the way that light and stuff works is different. But it's like, I just feel like this was just not looked at very well. And they just went, yeah, it was fine.
There was a couple of times that their voices was like, it's like echoey. One person would be talking, but then the next person talked and they were fine. And it kind of, I was like, okay. It confused me a little bit.
Something that could be seen as a negative, I guess, but I didn't really find it as much, is I thought like some of the scenes kind of moved quite abruptly.
And this movie moves really fast.
I didn't have a problem with it, to be honest, because the movie was like just a hair under 2 hours, like 155 minutes or some shit like that. And sorry, 155, God, an hour 55.
Hour and 55.
And yes, sorry. And anyway, that would have been rough. But it's like, that I'm fine with it because I don't need this like drag out bullshit explain stuff all like everything. Like, I know you gotta explain so much because of what's going on, but just keep the movie flowing, just keep it going. Because there were sometimes I felt like there were certain transitions, like that probably wasn't the clearest transition to what's going on. Specifically like when they go to the subterranean realm deeper in, because like Kong goes and then they go, but they just kind of like go down, but like a different angle down the thing, and it's the way it's shot just looks weird, so it doesn't look like they actually go after Kong, they just kind of like land somewhere. But
that's going straight down, like,
whatever. They're further down, we're good, it's fine, just keep going. Monkey, Unga Bunga, Kratos,
or like when the two like pyramid, I called them pyramids, because when they come together, I'm like, why is it taking forever
for them to kiss?
They're doing everything to keep. I know they're doing everything to keep them from touching, but I'm like,
it's only gay if pyramids touch. Just saying.
I'm like, could they have done it a little faster?
No. Anyway, seriously. I yes. Okay. Yes.
Well, I think one of my other, because I only have a couple, because like I said, this movie is just dumb fun. Like, it's just absolutely batshit crazy fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It has no. But one of my biggest issues, I think, is I don't know. This movie is called Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla and Kong, however you want to call this movie. Godzilla's name is the first thing in the title, and Kong is your prominent focus, which I had no problem with because I really loved everything they did with Kong. It really makes me want another solo Kong film in Hollow Earth. It could be a silent film. You don't even have to have any dialogue. Just have Kong doing his shit down in Hollow Earth, you know, hanging out with little Kong there and everything. I'm all about it because it was all fantastic. But the problem was like they only showed little snippets of Godzilla. It's like, oh, Godzilla's moving over here. He's doing this now. Okay, back to Kong for like 15 minutes. Okay, Godzilla, he's moving over here now. He's fighting this other kaiju. Okay, we're back to Kong for about 20 minutes. Okay, Godzilla, he's moving again. It's like Godzilla doesn't get enough focus. He's just they're just kind of every time they focus on him, it's like He's just moving again. Oh, he's going to get some energy from another kaiju. Or he's napping in the Colosseum.
Yeah, dude, he fucking naps hard. Dude. Let the man
I nap. Want a figure of napping Godzilla in the Colosseum. Like, I want that so whole bad. Thing. Yes. It's the best.
I will say this. I do agree. And Angela, I even talked about this in the car afterwards. I said, this is a concentric movie. And that's fine. Because they're both in it, and that's okay. Because sometimes the movie's got to focus on one character more than the other sometimes. It's just how it goes. And I'm totally cool with that. And Adam Wingard has actually been on record recently since after the film came out and said, I'm guarantee we're getting another one. That when he does another one, he wants to do the same thing he did for Kong in this movie for that movie, so the new movie. So he wants to be, or for Godzilla that he did for Kong, like he wants to have done for Godzilla. So he wants to be a Godzilla focused story to focus more on his origins. And he's been saying he essentially, what now?
I don't want it. We've gotten too much Godzilla in this MonsterVerse. We need more Kong.
We didn't though.
They Godzilla has literally been in almost every fucking movie of this MonsterVerse, and we've gotten Kong. He's gotten one solo movie, and his movie is the best of the entire MonsterVerse. So give him another solo movie.
I don't want movies.
I like Godzilla. I love Godzilla, and I want more Godzilla, but. I want another solo Kong film.
I understand. I'm fine with having another solo Kong movie. But his idea is, I like Kong, but I'm here for Godzilla. End of the day, that's where I'm here for. And this franchise wouldn't exist the way it does without him. I think it could still be good with Kong, but there's only so much you could do with it. You're also banking on Godzilla's marquee value as well, as a character. Anyhow, the things he wants to do, essentially the same thing with how Godzilla versus Destroyer was done with Godzilla when he does another movie. That's what he says. I was reading his posts and tweets about it online today. Mm-hmm. He wants to do another film similar to how Godzilla versus Destroyer was. And I'm fine with it. I think I would love more backstory because clearly Godzilla wasn't a thing that was created by the atomic bomb in this universe. Even going back to Godzilla 2014, that's been fleshed out a whole lot more now that he's more than that. And he has been more than that for a long time. So, like, I want to know more about where he came from in this universe.
Yeah, the MonsterVerse doesn't really do a very good job at keeping continuity because...
Yeah, no, they don't.
Godzilla is, you know, they have the whole thing with Godzilla's species and Kong and the apes have been at war with each other for a long time. You know, we got that kind of introduction in Godzilla versus Kong. And this one, it's Godzilla fought this... what the hell is his name? What is the main baddie in this one?
Scar King.
Like he's the one, like Godzilla was the one who helped lock up the Scar King and trap him in where he's at and all that. And it's like, well, but then if you watch the Monarch show and you see how Godzilla was, like the reason he is the size he is because of a nuke. Like he was actually smaller. And then they tried to kill him with a nuke and then he became bigger.
Which did happen in other ones because he got larger in King of the Monsters after he was hit with a nuke as well.
Right.
So
yeah, I don't know.
That's fair. There's a fuzzy continuity. And we also had a huge continuity error when we shifted from, and this is where I'm going to go back to what you talked about earlier, when we went from King of the Monsters to Godzilla versus Kong. Because King of the Monsters' focus was on territoriality, these being animals, there being a pecking order, a food chain, if you will, amongst these creatures. And then we go to Godzilla versus Kong, where most of that is ignored outside of Godzilla fighting King Kong. A bunch of shit established in that movie was ignored completely, which was really fucking stupid. And then in this movie, a lot of that stuff from Godzilla versus Kong Godzilla King of the Monsters was reintegrated, and shit from Godzilla versus King Kong was ignored because, no offense, I hated the fucking story in that movie so damn much. And it was so disjointed. Which this movie, I
Godzilla versus Kong?
Yeah, I hated the story in it. It was shit.
It's our number two on our list.
No, I thought it wasn't. Was it? Yeah, I thought we. It is. Not for me. Not my personal list, because it's always King of the Monsters is my favorite, then Kong Skull Island.
I'm pretty sure you were like, well, I've been outnumbered.
Yep. King of the Monsters for nostalgia, for nostalgia's sake, and then Kong Skull Island is the best of the movies.
King of the Monsters, just because of the awesome like Bear McCready redux of the freaking theme with the freaking like with the chants with the chants, and then you had Serj Tankian singing fucking Godzilla at the end of the movie.
See, Dan didn't like that,
but I love it. Like that song. It's literally on my favorites on Spotify right now. I listen to that song probably every day because it's so fucking good.
It's not even that him singing. I just don't like that song.
I had to play it while we were on our way back.
To be honest, I don't think I could ever listen to the original version, the Blue Oyster Cult version. I don't think I could ever listen to that one again. That's Blue Oyster Cult, right? Sings the original?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I wish they would just set with a solid thing. Like, this is what we're doing. This is the solid storyline. We need, like, a caretaker of the lore. Fix it, clean it up. This is the solid storyline. But I will say about music, I was pissed they did not play Twilight Zone longer, that song. When they went to the first gate, they should play that song longer. I did appreciate some of the music choices in the movie. Not so much the background music. It was okay because it's not what I wanted. I want Bear McCready to come back and do it.
Yeah.
I was more mad, but they didn't play certain themes.
Yeah, because they suck.
Yeah, Junkie XL was the composer along with Antonio Del Lurio.
Listen, guys.
We have social media.
Listen.
And stuff, hit up Bear McCready and say, hey, can you help?
Well, the dude commented in his, I remember people bitching about this online. He commented and said, hey, listen, we don't always have to use that theme. It's like people don't always use the Batman theme. They don't always use the Superman theme. Like, yeah, great. Applause.
Yes, you have to.
Godzilla has used that theme in a majority of his almost essentially, I think, up to 40 films now. Use his fucking theme. All right. If you want to make your own twist on anything else, you're more than welcome to do the music. Use his fucking theme. He's earned it. The dude's had the shit forever, but whatever. It's me being an angry fanboy. So
it's a throwback to the 1990s Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, where after going back in time and stopping Godzilla being hit by a nuke and then using a modern nuke to make him, then he became much bigger. Wait, there's fucking time travel in this franchise?
Oh my God. Yes, dude. Oh dude. It's great. It's great. It's got Steven Spielberg is referenced in that episode, in that movie, Godzilla versus King Kong. It's fucking great. I cannot wait till we talk about that. It's
good. You mean Godzilla versus King Ghidorah?
No, sorry, Ghidorah. My apologies. King I'm getting my Ghidorah. Tongue twisted. Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, they reference Steven Spielberg.
Ghidorah's mine.
And it has one of my favorite lines ever in a dubbed Godzilla movie. Take that, you dinosaur.
Okay, so let's...
Yeah, sorry.
Let's talk about the characters of this movie. So I think one of my positives of this, which are many, but one of my major positives of this movie is that the human characters, as much as they're not very interesting in this movie, as they aren't very interesting in any of the MonsterVerse movies, there's less of them, so it makes it better. Because that has been my biggest issue with this franchise, is that, like, for instance, I enjoy the hell out of King of the Monsters. Because I really love just all the monsters fucking fighting. You got all the redesigns. It's really cool. And the music's fantastic and all that. But there's just so many fucking people in that movie. So many. You have like 17 military guys. You have Millie Bobby Brown, her mom, her dad, freaking just, it's so many people. You're like, who am I supposed to keep track of? And then people who are in the first one die and you're like sad for a minute. And then like clearly no one gives a shit. Mm-hmm. You're like, and then Godzilla versus Kong was the same thing. There was too many freaking people, and then you had a side story that just didn't need to exist. Millie Bobby Brown did not need to come back. We met Bernie, and Bernie is fine, but his character along with those two kids in the last one were just pointless. They freaking stop, you know, they stop the villain by pouring some liquor on a computer. Like, we've talked about it before, but with this, it's like we focus on the only characters that I really care about from the last one. I liked Rebecca Hall's character. I liked Gia. And the fact they brought back Bernie, cool, because he's my favorite of that useless group that we got in the last one. But I think it just, the comedy was a little off for me. Like, he was trying to be overly funny on certain parts, or he's like overly dramatic about a lot of things, and it's like, okay, it's just
the fact that he is trying to be this big bad podcaster, political podcaster, and then you see him in real life and he's like,
yeah,
scared of everything,
right?
So
dude.
Hey, we got a Rudy raid coming from Twitch. What's going on?
Hey.
I haven't been raided on Twitch in like 3 years. So thank you so much, Rudy, for hanging out. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Dissect That Film. We are a podcast that dissects the good, the bad, and the ugly of cinema. Today we are doing a Fresh Cuts. This is our Fresh Cuts series where we talk about new release movies. And today we're talking about Godzilla, X-Kong, The New Empire. And we're talking spoilers. So if you haven't seen this movie, I hate to say leave, but if you don't want to be spoiled, we're talking about spoilers, spoilers right now. So, you know, either mute us or whatever. Just giving you guys a warning. But thank you, Rudy, for the raid. We appreciate you very much. Hope you had a fantastic stream. I don't have any commands or anything, so I can't do any of that stuff. So, but thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow. It's a works.
There you go. There you go.
Mine so, never works.
Yeah. So, so the fact is we got less human characters. It was, they were just better to keep track of. I really like Dan Stevens. I think he's fun to be around, and I'm always excited to see him in movies. You know, he's kind of like the veterinary. He's the dentist for freaking kaiju. Oh, so it's awesome.
Oh, I had
the North Pole to be a dentist.
Oh no, but I had issues with that whole scene. I was like, oh my god, no.
Oh, when he pulls his tooth out.
Oh. I hate the dentist anyways. Like, I have PTSD from the dentist, like, literally.
Right.
And to see that scene, I was like, oh, can we not show it up close?
I love how the catalyst of this film was Kong gets a toothache. It's so good.
But it shows him that he has feelings. Like, he's not just this. Problems.
He can relate. We can relate to us as people. Like, dude, having a toothache fucking sucks. Like, it's terrible.
Like, his whole... I was worried that when they start his day in the life of Kong, that you were going to be like, because I know how you feel about the day in the life of people.
I like day in the life of Kong. I like him waking up and was, like, showering and shit and like scratching his ass. I'm like, yeah, Kong, stick it to him, bro. Like, Kong's relatability is great. And like, this is good for somebody. I don't like primates. I really like Kong's relatability and his willingness, maybe just blatant joy for using a child as a weapon, just makes me unbelievably happy. In this
fucking
best
movie. Scenes of this movie.
I was like, so this is what we're getting,
right? Because you go from Kong seeing baby Kong or little Kong. I know it has a name. It's like Suko. So he meets Suko for the first time, and it's this really cool. We saw it in the trailer, but it was the scene where it looks like it's a bigger ape, but then it comes out, and it's, you know, he's a little guy, and then he, you know, Kong does this thing where he like drops down to his knee, he like puts his hand out, and then, you know, then shit happens, like he gets bit, and then he like chases him, and then he runs into bigger apes, and then he literally uses Suko. So he can just whipping him around, beating the shit out of all the apes.
He's like, you little shit.
Oh my god.
He beats them with another. I explained to Ben. I was like, I was explaining to somebody, like it was Ben, one of my coworkers. I was like, here's the non-spoiler movie. It's the only movie you'll ever listen. Think of it like you're going to watch Planet of the Apes, except you get to see an ape beat another ape with an ape.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's ironic that one of the trailers before this movie was the new Planet of the Apes.
Oh,
I was like, this is the one. Fuck, I know it's going to be a good movie. Fuck Planet of the Apes. Yeah. This is where I'm at today.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool seeing Kong kind of in his element. He's like rediscovering that there are more apes down here, but it's like not the situation he expected it to be. You know, it's when he discovers the Scar King kind of in his lair, and this is kind of how you like I do like the transition, like this is when he meets the Scar King is also when Rebecca Hall is explaining the Scar King and how Godzilla like helped trap, or like someone in Godzilla's family helped trap the Scar King down in this lair, but he also has his own Godzilla like creature down there that he uses, that he can use with like a freaking, where he uses a crystal to control it. And you're like, all right, I wish I got a little bit more explanation. You're glad it wasn't explained? I was
how did he get this thing?
How did he get it?
Fuck it.
That's what
care.
We discussed. We were trying to figure out what the crystal was. Was it a piece off of a deceased?
Shimo?
Was it something that he broke off of Shimo?
I thought that's what that might have been, because like the weapon that Scar King uses, essentially that spinal column like a whip. I thought that may have been a dead one.
Listen, that is the toughest spinal column of any creature out there.
But that's what I said. Like I like him to explain some stuff, but like, yeah, it probably been cool if they'd explained that and why it blew up for no reason when it was broken. But I'm kind of glad they didn't. Like, don't drag it down. Just like, he has crystal thing. It controls ice monster. That's it. That's all you need as a viewer to understand what's going on. Like, we don't even drag it. Like, here's the mythos of Shimo. Shimo, no offense, love the character, probably never coming back. I know. It's just how it seems to go in these. They introduce somebody and they just never show up again.
But he's like Kong's little buddy. He's Kong's buddy now.
It's his dog. He's like a wolf.
Yeah. He like pet. He was like giving it little chin scratches at the end.
Because when the spinal column breaks, he's like, "What do I do now? Like, where do I go?"
It's like a dog can take the electric, like the invisible fence across the yard. Like,
So, what did we think of the Scar King? Did we think it was? Yeah, I really enjoyed what they did with this character.
They did a great job of like instilling how much of a dick he was without anybody having to explain it.
Yeah,
it was I love that. That's what I love about this movie. You have all this, and I understand why Kong was the lead in a lot of it, because Kong is going to convey emotion and stuff better than Godzilla. That's just how it is. But like, I love how like you just had these spells, like we talked about, like of just kaiju for 10, 15 minutes, just doing their thing. And like, you don't need anybody talking. You don't need it explained. You just know what's going on.
Yeah.
I wish there was more fighting with Scar King. Like, I wanted that to be longer. Like, I felt like it was a fast
the
end.
First time?
No, the whole time. Like, I wanted Kong and Godzilla to fight longer, I guess.
Well, we the end and we discussed that. Elaborate. I have goals for that, but I agree. Because they have multiple small skirmishes and then, of course, the big one at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it really shows though. This movie really shows just how powerful Kong is. Like he beats the Scar King in his own home, but is kind of pushed out by activating, you know, the ice dragon there to the point where it like damages Kong so he can't use his arm. And you're like, okay, I see how you're playing. Like, this is that type of guy. Like, this is like, we've seen human villains portrayed in the same vein as the Scar King, but I think it's just so much better with the fact that you don't get dialogue. It's just this primordial primate screaming at each other, and you know, the just everything they're doing, beating their chests and shit like that.
Well, I will say this about that specifically, because we're in this fight, Kong in this movie, outside of just being fucking Kratos, like I mentioned before, which is fantastic. Yeah. The Kong in this movie reminds me a lot of Gamera in the Gamera franchise. Is he tends to fight a kaiju, do okay, or just get his ass beat, and then come back later like, okay, I know how this dude fights now, and now I'm gonna beat his ass. Because I think as a straight up brawl, Kong would have just beat the Scar King's ass. Like, Kong is just built like a shit brick house. That's right. I know it's a brick shit house, but I said shit brick house.
Oh no, yeah.
Yes, but Scar King fights so different than him. He has a different fighting style that he's not used to, and I know he gets a couple good hits on him. And Scar King clearly isn't like, he's surprised, but he's not. He's like, it's okay. I got Shimo. I got this. And like, I don't think it came off. In my opinion, didn't come off as like him losing initially. He's just like, okay, I'm just gonna bring Shimo out and just be done with this, because this guy's, he's gonna be more than a handful for me, and just so he doesn't have to break a sweat and look good in front of his, you know, people he's subjugated,
subordinates,
which I do like that angle. I mean, it you know, it's cool, and the reason for it, like, I think it's neat as fuck, but like the whole story behind them forcing them to dig to try to find more apes and stuff like that, like further inside the planet.
Mm-hmm. That's what they were doing? I had no idea why they were there.
Yeah, they were trying to dig because he was trying to get more to get a bigger army to go back up and try to take the surface back. He's like, if I keep digging, I could probably find more people like myself.
Yeah, and I love just kind of the designs of all the apes. Like, these apes are living in a shitty spot. So, like, do you have, like, all these a lot of them are all patchy. They're not, like, Kong comes in, he's like, yeah, Kong is coming in. He's got this, you know, well-groomed hair. He's looking like
jacked as shit.
Yeah, he's looking like a healthy... He's looking like a healthy ape, and you got these other ones who are like fucking these little scraggly things, like food. Give me some food.
I thought it was a fucking zombie at first. I was like, holy shit, dude, is this where we're going?
Yeah.
He's a necromancer.
But they also remind me of the first like humanoid.
Like more Neanderthal?
Yeah.
Neanderthal?
So they're different.
Okay. So more
facial
ancient,
structure.
Like,
Yeah.
So like a monkey fuck with a coconut. God.
Fuck.
Yeah, because I mean the Scar King is on the wall of the Iwi tribe's temple there. So clearly he's very old. And it's also one of those things like how long do these creatures live for? Like how old is Kong? How old are these apes that are living down here? Like is the aging process different down in Hollow Earth so they can live way longer? I guess that's the same kind of theory behind why Godzilla has been around for so long, because that's kind of where he travels between. So,
well, it's even like they even mentioned Shimo. They refer to her as an ancient kaiju. So how long is Shimo? We know for sure Shimo caused the last ice age.
Yeah.
So like we don't know. So I just love that. That's what I love about this world is there's so much shit they can do. Because it's the inside of the... They could just literally, no pun intended, dig up any bullshit monster and make it work.
Now, Shimo is an original creation for this movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I bought that part of...
You didn't bring it in here?
I didn't. I thought about grabbing it. I was like, Shimo! I didn't get the Doug figure. I'm pissed about that.
I want like a good size of the... Of Big G. I love the design. I love... It's one of my favorite looking Godzillas. Probably throughout history. I think this one and then like the minus one Godzilla, of course, they're like the two newest ones, but I love the looks of I just love the design of this Godzilla. Let's talk about Godzilla, because he is very different in this movie than we've kind of ever seen him in any of the movies in the MonsterVerse. He is, you know, we kind of see him in many different stages. So you have Monarch that they keep track of him. Of like where he's going. He's pretty much, when there's a kaiju that pops up and starts causing havoc in a city, he kind of shows up and takes care of them and then kind of moves on. He has a new napping space in the Colosseum in Rome. That's kind of his new little bed. It literally looks like a cat bed.
It does.
I thought that I told Angel, we were talking about if that, I asked if that was a 20 million miles to Earth reference. Remember where that ended, where they killed the Ymir atop the Colosseum in Italy? They shot him with a rocket launcher and he fell off. We covered it on Monster Zone for people who
don't
watch it.
Yes. So we see him kind of in his form that we've seen him in throughout the series, but then he kind of, I guess, because of the threat that's coming, he has to prepare himself. So he goes and he actually kills another kaiju to absorb the powers that are the energy that this kaiju was producing and protecting or whatever in Antarctica, or
because he also takes out a nuclear reactor first,
right,
which is one of the few times we've ever seen him ingest radiation in any movie, not even just the American films. Like, very rarely
waiting for it to be just that, though.
Yeah, very rarely has he done that, so on screen.
And he pretty much is just sucking it up like a vacuum. He's just,
this is my shit. Well, it's like in 1984, he just kind of like holds it and just like osmosis and just subs it into his body. And then the birds come and he's like, fuck that. I'm going to go hang out with these birds. And then just leaves.
All I can see is him ingesting the radiation like SpaghettiOs.
Like SpaghettiOs? That's fair. That's fair. I dig it.
Hey,
so Dan, I guess there's some MonsterVerse comics that continue do the continuity in between these movies. So I have to check those out.
I know they did some. And thank you, Fiori. I know they did some.
It's cool, but also I Like, yeah, it's cool that they kind of bridge those gaps, but like, at least give me some sort of recollection when you're going into a movie to be kind of give me a short explanation of like what the fuck is happening, because some people may not want to read the comics, or, you know, have no access to these comics. It's just okay.
Well, if he's in charge of these, because it seems like he's kind of like the dude for these next couple ones, Adam Wingard is.
Yeah.
Just maybe he'll have like a cohesive, like, because he wants to do like three movies or whatever. Like, that seems to be the thing to do. Just
right.
Boop, boop, boop. And I'm fine with you doing new kaiju. I love new kaiju. I love Scar King. I love having these new and I would like to see some old ones come back. I think that's great. But my problem is with the Japanese side of it is they always seem to constantly reuse the big three. And that's awesome, but we like to see other shit. So thank you very much to the MonsterVerse for giving us a lot of new kaiju.
Yeah. Because I don't even think it matters anymore. I mean, clearly people like the Shimu character, and it's not even a character that's been around. It's a brand new character for this franchise, and people are in love with it. So,
and Doug.
Yeah, keep doing it. And Doug. Yeah, and Doug. He just snatched Kong's meal. He was like, no, my. Dude, my green slimed bird.
He was popular enough to have a pointless part in King of the Godzilla versus King Kong. The fan base name him Doug and him be adopted by the film producers and have a fucking toy you could buy at Walmart. Suko and Doug. Which I would be fine if that was an animated series, by the way. Like Suko and Doug, like take a vacation to Brazil after the place is frozen.
I mean,
Godzilla's got to be like a chaperone and look after him.
Leave it to the community to name things. I mean, they named the one head of Ghidorah.
Kevin.
It's Kevin.
Yeah, it's Kevin.
He's the derpy head.
I do want to say this, because this is important. And we joked about this, about how the first, me and my buddy were talking at work, and he's also a viewer. Anyway, or listener, too.
Or so he says.
Anyway, we were talking about how the first Godzilla versus Kong, they were adversaries. That Kong just helped Godzilla fight Mechagodzilla at the end. And this one, they're kind of like reluctant allies. And I'm just mad also during that scene that we didn't get Godzilla with terrible language. That did not happen. But I want the next one to be just a straight up buddy cop movie. And we figured it out. I wish if Adam Wingard was on Twitter, I'd tag his ass in this shit. I put it on social media. So if you follow me, you had seen it already. I really just want at one point in the next movie to take place in San Francisco. And like Kong just walk up to Godzilla and just push on him, like, Godzilla, get the tables. And then, like, if this is a wrestling reference here for you, and like him and Godzilla just fucking whatever kaiju is double suplex him just like onto the fucking bridge, dude. I want that so fucking bad.
Suplex Godzilla suplexes Kong.
Yes,
I was like,
good,
that was my face.
I know, I was like. I was like, I could see Kong doing it to Godzilla. Did not expect it the other way around.
Yeah. Oh, that whole situation where they meet for the first time and Kong's trying to like,
wait, hold on,
you know,
wait,
like, hey, like, you know, I'm not here really to fight you. I'm trying to, I gotta talk to you, but like, and he's trying to sign, but Godzilla's like, I can't fucking read your sign. What are you talking about? I'm just gonna fight you.
Yeah,
pretty much. But the funniest, but the. So he absorbs the energy from that kaiju and he kind of like transforms. He like gets thinner, like more sleek.
He goes kaiju.
And he is able to become like he's just more agile and he's faster. Like the whole scene where
slouched over.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have that big old gut. He doesn't have that big, like,
I mean, literally,
his
the weight room.
Like, he's got some thighs, though.
Not as big though as the OG guy, his original form when we see him for the first time.
All muscle.
In 2014. Yeah, those were fucking tree trunks. But
more muscle than fat.
When Kong comes out of Hollow Earth and is trying to, you know, he calls upon Godzilla. And Godzilla is like climbs up to the top of that hill and then swan dives into the wall. I was like, that was cool, man. That was so cool.
One of the last times he did that, he was trying to evade a nuclear explosion. Just letting you guys know.
Should have done that with Toxic Monster.
Oh, Ghidorah?
Yeah.
That was actually Sea Monster.
I know, but I'm saying he should have done that with
Ghidorah. That's what I want. I want Ghidorah. Have Adora be the next fucking kaiju, because you could have some bullshit environmental message if you want, which is fine. That is important. I'm just being insensitive. And Hedorah is a very unique kaiju that's not like anything he's faced in the MonsterVerse or in most films ever.
No, we need Mecha King Ghidorah.
There's nothing left.
They'll find something somewhere.
I just want the vagina eyes. Keep going. So he jumps off, and I think it's like the Strait of Gibraltar is what he.
Yeah, yeah, and they meet each other. I love like the pink hue he has now, because he absorbed that pink energy from that other kaiju, and that's and everybody's like, why is he pink? Why is he pink? It's like, watch the fucking movie and you'll figure out why he's pink now.
It's a reference to Dragon Ball Z.
But his
name, already said it was. It's the reference to Kaioken.
Oh,
the monster's name.
What monster's name? From what?
That he absorbs.
Oh, he doesn't absorb. He kills Tiamat.
Tiamat.
Because it's where all the solar radiation collects.
Tiamat,
the solar ice caps. Yep. Which was referenced in King of the Monsters, just we didn't see it. Yep.
I just wasn't expecting that.
Well, what it was just, yes. But somebody pointed out something to me. My buddy showed me a video on TikTok. In almost every MonsterVerse film.
What? You watched his TikToks? But not mine?
Whatever one he showed me. No, I don't have to sign up for an account. Fuck that. Anyway, every MonsterVerse film, I think, except for the first one, that Godzilla is in, he has speared somebody. Like, gore, spear, tackle, you saw him in a fucking montage, happens like 5 times. I was like, dude, he just gores people. He fucking spears Kong through one of the pyramids. Just right through the motherfucker.
He just straight up tackles him. It's fantastic. It's
so good, dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love the kind of the redesign of Godzilla after his transformation. Kong is... he's just an absolute unit. And the final, like when we fight down in Hollow Earth and kind sweet. Of the gravity anti-gravity fight is
cool.
Really cool to then we get to back to the
so
top.
Disorienting though.
It is. But it's cool. And then we get back up to the surface and we get kind of that final showdown with the Scar King. As he escapes, and I mean, it's like, where is this? Oh, this is Brazil. Yeah, Brazil's fucking done. Like, it's done. They're like, they're the one shot where the Scar King takes his like bone whip and wraps it around a building, rips it in half, and then uses it to freaking smash Kong.
So cool.
You're like, what the hell? Like, I love that. You know, we get the Godzilla lizard running where he's on all fours, kind of like avoiding. You know, the ice blast and stuff like that. And it's just super cool. And what did we think about the final kill? The Mortal Kombat.
I think it was just deserved.
Fatality.
Just deserved. Dude.
Finish him.
I like how it ended the way it did. Where Zuko, you know, breaks the crystal thing and explodes for no reason, but I'm cool with it. And that Shimo gets to freeze Scar King and Kong gets to just break him to shit because of how much he's been oppressing what's left of his people. And right. I think that's rightfully so. He should have got that final hit.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I think it was poetic justice.
It was
definitely better than just Kong or Godzilla beating him, you know.
Yeah.
The fact that it's the creature that he has kind of had as a prisoner the whole time being the one to stop him. I think that was really cool.
Wasn't it ironic that we went out getting
the just desserts?
Hell yeah, he did. It wasn't ironic that we literally got two movies back to back about a major metropolitan area being frozen.
Oh yeah, with Ghostbusters. Yeah, I still haven't seen Ghostbusters.
I just thought it was ironic. Hey. Yeah. So anyway.
Dang it, now I've got Alanis Morissette stuck in my head.
What?
Thanks. Isn't that ironic, don't you think?
Oh no, I was thinking of Cruel Summer.
Oh.
Cruel summer.
Fucking trailer ruined me. So now I think of that, and whenever that Brazil scene, I was thinking of the same damn song. I was like, you might as well play it. Fucking make it happen.
Somebody put on social media, I can't remember which one it was, but it was like, so they missed out. Did anyone see the ending of Godzilla X Kong where Godzilla and Kong are fighting the Scar King and Stone Jesus just comes alive and joins in on the fight?
Dude, it's Daimajin?
It's oh, that's like, why they said it was like stone. The stone Jesus turns into like a Daimajin creature.
Just oh my god, that would have been sweet.
That would have been so awesome. I can't remember who said it, but that was awesome. That was
he does
awesome
the thing where he puts this like hand in front of his face.
Yes,
yes. Oh my god, that would have been so cool.
I don't know how many times I've seen drones fly by that, and I'm like, I'm just waiting for it to start moving. Like, even if it's just like a couple of inches.
I'm disappointed in myself for not thinking of that, but kudos to that person.
I think another.
Go ahead.
I what did we think about the return of Mothra?
I didn't expect it.
From someone that doesn't like Mothra?
Yes, I don't. I respect her, but I don't like her. If she's going to be anything, be chocolate donuts. That's where I stand. I draw the line.
So is this a different Mothra than what we got from King of the Monsters?
It's kind of, if it's like the old stuff, it's kind of like a resurrection thing. What? It's kind of like Mothra's kind of eternal, like a phoenix. It kind of like constantly.
Because she dies in King of the Monsters and gives Godzilla the power to become that like nuclear Godzilla.
What?
It's her babies.
I actually saw a piece of fan art somebody had. It was Godzilla from this movie. And he has Mothra under his arm. He's like, hang on, I'm getting her home. She ain't dying this time. But no, I thought it was cool. And like, I like how they explain like Godzilla's like this essentially, he's kind of like the protector of the planet of sorts. And then like Kong protects humanity. And then Mothra protects the Iwi. And like, I kind of think like how we have these guardian figures, which they could run with and establish into more stuff. Maybe something what Fiori was mentioning here. In a minute, but I like that. I like she came back. I like that she did more in this movie. She shot Webb all over. It was an everybody.
I enjoyed that. I respected that they had her do more than what she has previously. But I made a comment. I said, "Is Gia gonna sing the Mothra song?" And I'm like, "Damn it!
I wish she did." Oh my god! I thought we were going to get the twin angle. Like, I'm kind of glad they didn't, because they did their own thing. But she's like kind of the shinobi. Like, she is like the conduit.
I wanted Mothra's song. I wanted her song.
She's
like,
Mothra's agent. She's got to work up to that.
So Mothra's song was supposed to be in King of the Monsters, and it was cut.
It is in King of the Monsters. It's not song.
It's the
music.
The music.
It was supposed to be
song. But no, the actual song was supposed to be in it.
Fuckers.
Like, I started singing it in my head. Like, I know that song.
They need to bring back King Caesar and do that whole song, dude. Caesar. Do the whole 2-3 minutes on the beach.
Where she's like this the whole time.
Whoop his ass. He's got to do the ear thing when he gets whoop.
Yeah. But yeah, think that's about, I think that's.
Yeah, we're just going to gush.
Pretty much
I'm
covered.
Gonna.
Yeah.
I could.
We're going to be, like I said, we're going to be doing probably a full fledged core podcast episode on this movie once it becomes available on physical media. I can't wait to own this movie. I can't wait to watch it again. Like, it was just, it's such a fun time. Like, I just had such a great time at the movies. It's one of those movies where you're not taking anything, like you understand the human characters are not going to be that interesting, or it's not going to be that compelling. Like, you just want to see Kong doing his thing. You want to see Godzilla doing their thing. You want to see them fight. You want to see them fight other people, high five, hold hands, fucking do crazy shit. Like, that's all I care about. Like, I just want that. Like, if I want the human, like caring about the human characters, that's what -1 it will give me when I rewatch that. That's the one that's going to give me the really deep story with characters I care about, where this is like, no, this is just the monster. These are monsters fighting, and that's all I care about. This is what I want.
Godzilla and Kong are going to end up having a secret handshake that only they know.
Oh, absolutely.
They do have a secret handshake. It was when they both stood there and just went.
There is a scene where King Kong saddles Godzilla and rides him into fucking battle.
Because the Scar King was riding on Shimu.
Yeah. Godzilla allowed this. He's like, oh, you motherfucker.
Because it wasn't for very long. It was only for second. Like, he literally hops on his back just so he can get momentum to jump through the air.
That shot is cool as fuck. Like, Shimu, really Godzilla cool. running and them jumping. It's
yeah.
great. I enjoyed that they aged Kong.
Yeah, he's got the beard.
He's got gray hair.
Well, he was aged in the last one too, yeah.
But he wasn't. He was still what, a teenager-esque in Skull Island.
Well, it's been a few years, they say.
Oh, in Skull Island, he was young. He was very young in Skull Island.
But they've like aged him.
Because I think from Skull Island to Godzilla versus Kong was like 50 years. So yeah, he's an old man. Yeah. But he's still a fucking tank.
Yes. And I am glad actually Fiori's mentioning some stuff. And I don't get teary-eyed during anything, but I did genuinely enjoy this movie. But I will say, and you mentioned Baggin, and I hope that is brought in at one point, because Baggin is like an elusive kaiju that's supposed to be this all-powerful super god monster that's never been used in anything except for a video game.
Just give it time. Some
very obscure shit. Yeah. But anyway, this shit proves to me that Toho is still allowing them to use their licensed characters. Because I wasn't sure, like, because we didn't know if we'd ever see, you know, Mothra or Rodan or any of that shit again, but we got to see Mothra. So I was like, here's some hope. We might see some more of those characters come back.
As long as these movies are making money, I think Toho is going to continue to allow it to happen, because Toho gets a good chunk of this money. So yes, as long as these movies are making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, Toho's like, all right. But I mean, they still have to follow Toho's rules when it comes to how characters are portrayed and stuff like that. So, and we all know what happens when that doesn't happen.
Yes.
AKA the 98 one. But I mean, I've always, ever since Minus One came out, I've always just been super excited the fact that we're getting multiple versions of Godzilla. Like, we have these two versions of Godzilla, and it's okay that they're not the same, that they're not going to be connected anyway. And if you don't like one, you can like the other, or you can like both, or maybe you don't like either of them. Like, I don't know, but it's awesome, because you Minus One is just so emotional. It's just such an emotional story and just so well done. And this is just fucking give me a bucket of popcorn, give me a beer. I want to sit there and just turn my brain off to a degree and just be like, monsters punch each other. Like, just give it to me now.
Feed just make me. It awesome. Make it fun and make it awesome. Yes. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. It's very easy. I feel.
Mitsu Bano is still credited in these movies. Yeah, because he helped bring the MonsterVerse to life.
That is cool. Yes.
That is cool.
I think he did, because that guy, very much rest in peace to that gentleman, but Yoshimitsu Bano was the director of Godzilla versus Ghidorah, and is famously quoted as, after that movie came out, Tomoyuki Tanaki, which is kind of like the producer that had like been like essentially the overseer of the Godzilla franchise, they let Yoshimitsu Bano make Godzilla versus Ghidorah, and then literally after he got done making it, he said, "You are never making a Godzilla movie ever again." And he had plans to do more, and they just didn't. And he was in development hell for these other movies forever, but he finally at least got to get this shit out. And I'm glad they've kept him, and I hope they continue to keep him on the credits for the rest of these films as producer.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think that's about it. I think we're going to be talking about this more down the road. I think, I mean, we talked about a lot already, but we're going to be going through the entire plot of this movie once we get to it. So, I mean, final thoughts. I think we've pretty much shared them all. We really enjoyed this movie. Like, we all really enjoyed this movie, and we can't wait to talk more about it. It's just fun. It's so fun. And it's one of those. Yes, seriously. If you can see it in theaters, if you have an IMAX, go see it in IMAX. Yeah. I guarantee this movie probably rocks on IMAX. I'm nowhere near one, so I'm not gonna make that drive. But just seeing it on the big screen, period, was just a blast. And to be honest, I don't think I could ever not see a MonsterVerse movie on the big screen now. And I'm kind of mad that I wasn't able to witness some of the. Like, I would have loved to sit there and watch 2014 on the big screen and just be in awe, because I didn't, and it's unfortunate, but. Yeah, these movies are just fun. The MonsterVerse is fun. Like, I've just had a blast with this franchise. It's just dumb fun, in my opinion. But that's going to be it for us and our fresh cuts on Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. What did you think of the movie? If you've seen it, please leave a comment down below, or send us a DM, or comment on the episode when we put it down or when we post it next week, you know, leave, tell us what you thought. We appreciate all of your support. As we stated there, this, we have a lot of stuff coming on this week. This will be the audio version of this episode is out on Wednesday. We already released our interview with the writer and actor behind the upcoming indie horror film Vampire. And then on Friday will be our episode on the Guyver with Tony from Hack the Movies. So we got a lot of stuff coming out in the next week, and then we will have our Monster Zone episode on what are we covering for April?
April, what's we're covering beneath? It came from beneath the sea.
It came from beneath the sea. So if you want to check out all of our episodes on the Monster Zone, make sure to go to patreon.com/dissectthatfilm and join us at the $5 tier, and you get access to our Patreon exclusive series, The Monster Zone, which is hosted by Dan and Angela, where we go through, we spin a wheel and we talk about a monster movie. And yeah, we have quite a few really awesome episodes. It's one of those type of thing where there's really not a lot of structure. It's just us talking about fun monster movies. So, and that's pretty much what we're doing. So, yeah, I think that's it. We thank you for joining us for, if you joined us for the entire live stream, if you joined us just for this live fresh cuts, I'm not even going to edit this. I don't even care. I read chat. I'm not worried about it. Rudy, thank you for the raid. I appreciate you and all the support you give. I appreciate everybody who was here tonight. You rock. Stay tuned. Like I said, got a lot of stuff going on. And we'll see y'all again next month for our next end of month live stream. It's got a lot of stuff. You guys got anything you want to say before we get the hell out of here?
Oh, there's a BLT.
There's a BLT. What?
Hey, it is Sandwich Man. Go watch more Godzilla stuff. Go watch more kaiju. Go watch Godzilla versus Hedorah. We were talking about it, and there's in our chat right now is Godzilla flying with a burrito and Hedorah eating a slice of pizza. So go, go.
We got humor of those, by the way.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Thank you, everybody. Until next time, I am Brett Parker. That is Dan and Angela of DNA Gaming, and this has been another episode of Fresh Cuts. We'll see y'all again next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We didn't get it in the movie, so I'm giving it to you now.
That's right.
Bye.